Less than a decade ago, the world thought eastern Colorado ended at the Aurora city limits. In recent years, citizens of Elbert, Lincoln, Cheyenne, and Kit Carson counties have implemented innovative programs for the poor and the elderly, which have come to state and national attention. They've spoken up on issues that concern them. And last year, a full-color brochure full of teasing hints at eastern Colorado's attractions was made available to tourists nationwide. But the history of eastern Colorado remains untold, in large part. Some local historical societies have recorded family histories. But most people, local residents included, remain unaware of the rich history that preceded today's eastern Colorado. The second central school southeast of Flagler epitomizes that history. The result of consolidation of several one-room schoolhouses, Second Central was a large school for the period. A large room on the ground floor was just right for community gatherings, and a folding wall could be used to transform it into two classrooms, one for grades 1 through 4 and the other for grades 5 through 8. In the basement was another classroom for grades 9 and 10, and another room which was used variously as a woodworking shop or as housing for the teachers. Second Central was in operation from 1915 until World War II. Enrollment sometimes reached 80 students, and the school usually required 3 teachers. The school's history is fascinating study in itself, since it operated through periods of great prosperity and of Great Depression, ending its era with Dust Bowl days and World War. But the real history remains in the memory of Second Central students. In a recent article in the Flagler News, Opal Joy, who was both a student and a teacher at Second Central, recalled a mischievous first grader whose jaw was broken when he disobeyed the teacher and pestered a horse in the horse barn. She recalled a teacher who made students settle disagreements with boxing gloves. She remembered playing games by coal oil lamps while blowing dust darkened the sky outside. Another former student, Ted Wickham, remembered slipping notes through the folding wall to classmates on the other side, hiding from the teacher behind coats hanging in the hall, deliberately lodging a ball on the school roof for an excuse to climb the lightning rod, playing a game which involved sticking fence staples into the schoolhouse wall, digging caves in the rolling hills near the school against teacher's orders, going swimming when an infrequent heavy rain created a temporary watering hole, and heaving chunks of coal at mice brave enough to scurry across a classroom. Early census lists show Second Central students with Polish, German, Irish, and American backgrounds. "But we were all good neighbors," Wickham said. "We had to help each other to get by." Today, the Second Central schoolhouse sits abandoned on private property. A shotgun has left its mark on the front door. Windows are broken or boarded up. Time, the weather, and neglect have taken their toll on the paint. The furnishings are all gone, except for a handmade storage cabinet and the blackboards on the walls. One still bears traces of the alphabet after more than 30 years. But Second Central students and teachers still remember their experiences there, and they share them with each other at periodic reunions, or with others whenever they get the chance.